We're still on the series, The Will of God. So what we're going to do, so let's go over it again. We began talking about the will of God as a series. And then we're talking about the various wills of God, sovereign will in particular, and the fact that God allows certain things to happen. And to the point we may say, well, you know, why would God do that? And why would he allow that? Auntie, you need to turn the light on? Because you sure can. Okay. Why would he allow that? Why would he allow this? Then we said, well, in order to cut down on those questions, we need to understand the character of God. And so we began talking about the character of God, and which has led us to talk about the foundational character of God, and that is His holiness. So, and also what we've done too, what I want to do today is in the concept or in the teaching concerning the holiness of God, tonight I want to just take a few moments tonight, won't be before you long, to talk about the face of God, face of God. When you're talking about the holiness of God, the face of God, I think is often overlooked in a sense. Let's look at Exodus chapter 33. So this is a sort of a mini teaching, M-I-N-I, within the holy holiness of God, which is within the will of God, the face of God. Exodus 33, look at verse 17, beginning with verse 17, reading down to verse 20. Exodus 33, beginning with verse 17. Okay. And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken, I will do, comma, for you have found favor in my sight. This is the Lord saying to Moses, Moses, you have found favor in my sight, and I, the Lord, know your name, know you by name. I know you by name, Moses. That's tremendous. The Lord said, you found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Now, Moses has found favor in God's sight, and God knows Moses' name. This is what God is saying concerning Moses, not Moses supposing this. And I'm going to do a little supposition. I'm supposing. I believe that Moses said, man, me and God, we really tight. The Lord, we're tight. You know, I found favor and he knows my name. And when you think about the favor and him knowing his name, think about this. Moses had a front row seat, if you will, to some of the most incredible miracles in all of Scripture. Remember, he went and approached a bush that was burning, but not being burnt up. But even more than that, God speaks to him out of the bush. So he hears the voice of God. Not only that, he saw the Nile River turn into blood. You're talking about fresh bread or fresh food. He tasted manna that came straight from heaven. Can't get any fresher than that. And he tasted that. And he saw the Lord God in the form of a pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Not to mention the drowning of the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. He saw a sea part and just sort of jail on both sides while they walked through on dry ground. And then it come back together and flood and drown the army. He's saying, yes, I have found favor in God's sight. He does know my name. And you know, I think I'm going to take this time to ask him, verse 18. I'm going to ask him this. Moses said, after he says in verse 17, you found favor and I know your name. Moses said, please show me your glory. Verse 19. And the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, which is Yahweh. See that capital L? See all the letters are capitalized? You see that? L-O-R-D, all capitalized. That means he's talking about Yahweh. That is his name, is Yahweh. When you see capital L and O-R-D in lowercase, that's talking about Adonai. So, I don't have it set up. So Yahweh spelled Y-A-H-W-E-W-E-H, Yahweh. That is his name. Adonai, which is also Lord in Hebrew, which is Lord in English rather, but Adonai in Hebrew is his title. Okay, so you take, for example, Governor Whitmer. I forgot her first name. Anybody remember?
Gretchen.
So Gretchen Whitmer is her name, and Governor is her title. You follow me? Or Joseph Biden is his name, President is title. Well, Yahweh is his name, and Adonai is his title. You got that? So whenever you see all caps, he's talking about Yahweh. That is the name of God. That's his, that's the name, his sacred holy name that he revealed to his people in the Old Testament. And that name wasn't, it was not to be uttered. And so they would not say that name. It was deemed as being holy and sacred. But he says, I will proclaim before you my name, Yahweh, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Verse 20, here comes the answer to verse 18, please show me your glory. Verse 20, I'm going to do all this in verse 19, but the Lord says, you cannot see my face. Verse 18, show me your glory. And he says, but you cannot see my face. So what was Moses asking when he said, show me your glory? He was asking, hey, I want to see your face. Do you understand that? That's what he was asking. And the Lord said, I can show you my glory. I can show you the my glory on display, my goodness. I'll proclaim my name. I'll be gracious and I'll show you mercy. He said, but you cannot see my face. And he says, why? Because for man shall not see me and live. Why is that? Because we're sin creatures. And we can't look into the face of a holy God and live. But you know, if you think about it, even in the natural, you know, when you see someone who's maybe incredible, or like as a teacher, when they were great students, you know, you wanted to meet the parents and, you know, you want to see, I wanted to see it. That's what all of this, you know, entertainment is about. You know, you pay all that money to see this person. They want to see. Well, all that was planted in there by God. It's that we're not wanting to see the right things. Well, Moses said, you know, I done found his favor and his grace and mercy, and I'm with you, and I just want to see you. The Lord said, no, cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. Seeing the face of God was the hope of the Jewish people. It was the hope. They wanted to see God. That hope isn't just with the Jews. It is with us too. We too want to see the face to God, face of God. We want to see him face to face. We too want to, if you will, bask in the radiance of his glory and his divine countenance. Someone once said that the final goal of every Christian is to be allowed to see what was denied to Moses. Why isn't that something? You don't hear the preachers talking a lot about the face of God. But that is a goal. And a lot of Christians don't even know that there's something to even be seen because they don't understand his holiness. As I said earlier, seeing the face of God was a hope of every Jew. A hope that was instilled in this. Look at Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. This hope is instilled in this benediction, this praise and worship to God Almighty, a blessing for the people of Israel. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. I've heard this quoted at funerals, at the grave, as a matter of fact. Verse 24, the Lord bless and keep you. You've heard this before, right? The Lord make his what? Face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance, which would be his face upon you, and give you peace. If you understand what their hope was, what their desire was, to see the face of God, then this takes on a whole different meaning, much more deeper meaning. May the Lord make his face to shine on you, be a blessing to you, be gracious to you. May he lift up mean as in approval. You know, you went in, you didn't look at the king, but when you were commanded to lift up your head and look, then you were approved. You were able, you were then being approved and invited to look at the king. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, rather, and give you peace. It was the hope of the Jews to see the face of God. It's unfortunate that's not our hope, but we don't have an understanding about it, don't think much about it. But boy, that's going to be quite a day that we can do that. This hope then becomes our hope, the Christian hope. It becomes a promise that John tells in his first letter. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 2. This hope then becomes a promise for the Christian, the people of God. Look what John tells us through the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 3. Check our time. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 2. Seeing the face of God. The face of God. By the way, when he says no man can see me and live because of our sin, then how are we going to, why is there a hope that we can see the face of God? Don't answer. Verse 2, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared or been made known and revealed. See, but we will be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Here it is. Because we shall see him as he is. You see that? No more the veil. No more of having just billions of miles between us and him so that we don't we can't know where we can gaze into heaven because we will not live. But there's a promise that when he does appear, we'll be like him. There's a key thing, be like him, because we will see him as he is. So here's the promise from God himself through his apostle John that we're going to see him as he is. Theologians call this future expectation the beatific vision. B-E-A-T-I-F-I-C. The beatific vision. That's us seeing God as he is. You know what that means, right? That we're going to see him face to face. We're going to see God face to face. Now, the glory of God has been revealed in the burning bush, the parting of the Red Sea. Those are all reflections of his glory. If you can use that phrase, reflections of his glory. But we're not going to receive the, we're not going to just see the reflections of his glory, his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his miracles. We're going to see him, not reflections. We're going to see him as he is. As he is, pure, divine, holy. That's amazing. For us right now, it's hard for us to kind of understand that because right now it is impossible to see God. It's impossible to see him in his purest, holy essence. Why? Because we have sin, but we're going to see him. However, on the way, on the journey to seeing him, something has to happen. And what is that? We must be purified. Anybody know where we need to be purified? In our hearts. Look at Matthew chapter 5. You know this verse, but I hope it takes on a different flavor. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 8. What has to happen before we can see God in his purest essence? We must be purified. Matthew chapter 5 verse 8 reads, "Blessed are the pure in where? Heart, for they shall see God." Now we've known that verse for many years, but let it take on a new tonight. We're going to see the face of God. Now, is it safe to say that nobody in this world is pure in heart? Is that a fair statement? Yeah. Amen. It is our impurity that prevents us from seeing God. And also, the problem of our impurity is not with our eyes, it is with our hearts. He said, "Blessed are the pure in eyes, or pure in mouth." He said, "Pure in heart, for they'll see God." So the problem is with our hearts. Only after the Lord God purifies our heart and totally sanctifies us, that we will then have the capacity and the ability to gaze into the face of God. And what a day of rejoicing that will be, gazing into the face of God, to see him face to face, to see him as he is, in all of his beauty, in all of his holiness, in all of his splendor. And we talked about that on Sunday a little bit, that his holiness is his beauty. Beautiful. I thank God we are talking about holiness ad nauseum, landing on it, so that we can embrace it and not sidestep it but embrace it. Let's go to Ephesians, I'm sorry, back to Exodus rather, chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And look at verse 17 again. The Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you've spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Please show me your glory," which is asking to see his face. The Lord said, "I'll show you all my goodness. I'll proclaim my name. I will be gracious and show mercy." So notice when he says, "Show me his glory," he names these attributes or reflections of, "I'm going to show you my goodness, proclaim my name, I'm going to be gracious, and I will be merciful." Those are all reflections of his glory. "But you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." Verse 21, the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock." Now, by the way, Moses has ascended the mountain to talk with God concerning the Ten Commandments. And the Lord, of course, when he said talk with God, we're not talking about face, obviously not face to face. The Lord said, "There's a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock," sort of like a little drop down in there, where just a little bit above, a little bit out. "And I'm going to put you down in there, and I will cover you with my hand until I pass by." So even then, he's got them all down in there and all this, because it's still too much. "I'm going to cover you with my hand until I pass by. And then I'll take away my hand and you shall see my back," which in Greek is hindquarters, "but my face shall not be seen." You're going to see just the backside, just a touch of even of that. Now look at the result of that. Turn over to chapter 34, the very next chapter, of just seeing the hindquarters, just a portion of God's backside. Of course, you know, those are all anthropomorphic terms there. Look at verse 29, 34, verse 29. "When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near." Wow. Remember we talked about the trauma of holiness a little bit on Sunday, where Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, right, he saw the Lord and he was afraid and said, "I am disintegrating, I'm coming apart." Peter sees the power of the holiness of God and him filling up the boats and says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." Here, they are afraid because of a touch of the reflection of the glory of God that shone so brightly on Moses' face. That's how, help us, that's how bright his glory is. He just saw just a touch of it. And he glowed so that it scared the people. A human being reflecting the glory of God scared the people, let alone God himself. His face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. It was so bright, had to dull that glory shining on him. That just gives us a bit of an inkling on how bright and powerful and majestic and brilliant the glory of God is, that a human being seeing just a touch of it caused their face to glow so brightly that it scared other people. We are blessed, Father, help us to get this, that one day, anybody know what state we're going to be in when we go and be able to see him face to face? Glorified state. We got justification. We're living out sanctification. And eventually there's going to be glorification. See, we'll be pure and holy then. All sin gone. And we will be able to stand in the face of God and see him face to face. What a day of rejoicing. And unfortunately, it doesn't bring much joy to the people of God now because nobody talks about that, unfortunately. You know, people get greater joy, which is really happiness, from knowing they're going to get a raise on a job or knowing they're going to get a new car tomorrow. And don't let it be miraculously paid for. They're really going to be happy. Bonafide Christians. But we talk about going to heaven, spending eternity with God, and being able to see his face. We got too much going on here in America. You know, we got houses and cars and jobs. And it's got a lot of things there, man. You know, just think every meal they had to go kill something. There wasn't no refrigerators to go to. There wasn't no meat markets, you know. I mean, the glory of God meant something. Moses said, man, I want to see your face. Father, give us that desire. Give us that desire. Help us to rejoice over the promise that you said in your word, that we are going to see you one day as you really are. And Father, for that, we are forever grateful. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God.